Hey, what's going on, everybody? Alex Bender here. It's Tales from the Green Room, episode number 151. It's been a minute. How's everybody doing? It's Sunday morning. I just started this podcast. I have no idea what I'm going to talk about. Feels kind of strange, honestly, if I'm being honest. Yeah, man, I don't know. I kind of felt like I did the last episode a couple months ago, and it was with Greg from Cashed Out, and it was a good episode. It was. I've just been feeling lately that I don't have much to talk about. I think it has to do with like depression and stuff. Like I've talked about it a little bit recently, like how I was sort of like not really feeling like I was kind of dreading the last tour, the spring tour. It was a great tour. I'll say it was an awesome tour. We actually had a really good time. That first show, really brought me out of whatever darkness I was feeling. It was the Janice Live in St. Pete. Had a great time. It was awesome. And then from then on, it was just, every show was awesome. Asheville is always a little weird. I don't think people didn't appreciate it, you know, like, but it's just a more chill kind of town, I think. And we've always had that. We've always had that feeling when we go to Asheville. It's always kind of like laid back, but like too laid back, you know? Very happy for everybody that came out, by the way. I'm not saying anything like that. Just the energy was a lot lower than the rest of the tour. So like it makes us kind of feel like we're not doing our job right, you know? And we didn't play that well either. We definitely didn't. And like my voice was really messed up. Like, my voice was like sucked that day. And I was, once I get in my head that, I can't sing tonight, everything else just goes off the rails. It's, you know, so, and I try to fight it. I'm fighting it the whole time. I'm like working through it. And it's just like, guitar solos are bad. I'm too focused on like what's happening. I don't know. It's super weird, honestly. Anyway, I digress. I was kind of feeling weird about going on the tour. I was in this like odd stage of like, none of this matters, you know. One day the earth will be swallowed by the sun. And I actually use that. It sounds dark, but I actually use that in a positive way on a post. I think it's like 2 weeks ago. Go see your favorite bands live. You know, get out there. One day the earth's going to be swallowed by the sun. Like one day this will all be over. You know, one day this will all be gone. So like we should take every minute and live it to the fullest, you know. But yeah, you could definitely use it in a dark way. Silly. Yeah, so as far as the podcast goes, man, I was like, I started this podcast to, it was kind of as a way to like, it was like therapy. Because I'd just gotten through the first like year or so, after my dad died, and I like needed something else. I need to do something else on top of the music, like aside from the music, because I didn't feel like, I guess I kind of felt like the band like wasn't my own thing anymore. It was, you know, you share it with these other guys in the band, and there's all these expectations from the fan base when they're, you know, listening, and you know, it makes a lot of pressure. Creates a lot of pressure that it's, you know, actually it's unnecessary pressure. I mean, you know, it's all in our minds, really. Honestly, I shouldn't give a fuck with what anybody wants to hear. It's like, I need to keep doing what I need to do. And that's just write cool songs that I enjoy. And, but you know, I write for myself, you know, I do this for myself, but, I also know that there's a lot of people that like have become sort of like, I don't know, maybe not dependent. That might sound a little, pretentious or something, but, I don't know. They've gotten used to our sound, and they want to hear the next jam that's going to make them feel something that's going to move them, you know? And I recognize that, you know, just like I do with my favorite bands. I want to hear, you know, I want to hear those things that move me, you know, and you can listen, you know, we all have our old favorite songs, you know, and we'll listen to those, you know, if all we have were CDs, you know, still, and streaming and MP3s weren't a thing, it's like that CD would have been scratched up and destroyed a long time ago, you know. It's like we need those tunes. But I definitely just, I don't know. I just felt like I was like, what is the point of all this? You know, it's strange. And like, even with the podcast, you know, I'm going off the rails here. Back to the podcast. Like, I started the podcast as therapy. I needed to do something else. And, I guess I was very excited when I put up the first episode, and like, you can hear it in my voice. You know, I've been on stage for 27 years now, 25 years technically. We didn't play our first show until 96. So you know, sort of in that public space, that public stage. But when it came to like talking, like speaking on, sorry, I can't stop burping this morning, guys. Speaking on, you know, just to a microphone, and now, you know, we got to do video podcasts these days, so I'm speaking to a camera as well. You know, ever since all that, I guess it became like, again, I get inside my head, and you can hear my voice. I just feel very amateur, you know, and I'm definitely, you know, I'm just excited. You can just hear it, you know. And once again, I told you, I'm going to stumble over this podcast. I have no idea what I'm talking about today. And I saw the response. Like, people were stoked. They're like, oh, this is really cool, you know. So I recorded like two more episodes, and I put those up like the next day, and then the next day, and I was doing a podcast like, you know, 3-4 times a week in that first year, probably. Maybe not that many, but a lot. And then I would bring on guests, and I thought, you know, it'd be great to get, like, it definitely helps for days like this where I feel like I don't have anything to talk about. I don't know what to say. You know, having a guest on to bounce off of is great. And it's cool to hear other experiences too, from the other artists and such. And I've had other YouTubers, I've had filmmakers, you know, on the pod, and it's been a very, very interesting, very cool thing, you know, to just talk with these people. You know, and then, but the basis of the whole thing was like, you know, the mission statement, I guess, was to like, just put out like content, like that's like advice, you know, that's like fun to listen to, you know, because I always throw in stupid stories, or you guys hopefully are used to my weird, dark humor by now. You know, the whole idea was to like communicate some advice at basically the end of the episode. You know, by the end of the episode, I wanted people to, you know, new artists, you know, whoever, anybody that's trying to pursue any sort of creative career. I hope that the advice that and the stories that I've told are, you know, are helping or have helped you in some way. That was the idea. And then, I don't know, I just got to like a point. I'm sure there's a million things that I could say. Sometimes I feel like I'm beating a dead horse, you know. there's a lot of things I could talk about, you know, and let me know, like, if there's anything you think I should, you know, discuss on here. Because honestly, man, like, I wish that somebody would have told me and my band a lot of the things that I'm putting out there for free, you know, like, you know, like, make sure that the radio guy, I've probably mentioned this before, but make sure the radio guy you hire, when he puts you on a radio festival, maybe just look and make sure that there's an actual radio station attached to this little event when you drive halfway across the country to Nebraska. Yeah, I don't even know if we got paid. We probably got paid. No, maybe we didn't. I don't know if we got paid. We drove all the way to Nebraska and back. And it was like a knockoff Buffalo Wild Wings. And we had, I mean, some people showed up. It was cool. 100, 150 people. But there was no radio station. It was supposed to be, the whole thing was like radio station to like hang out with. And hopefully they'll play the song on the radio. Stuff like that, you know. Things like make sure your trailer brakes work. Make sure you don't drive 90 miles an hour pulling a trailer, you know, in the mountains. You should never drive 90 miles an hour pulling a trailer in the first place. You should never drive 90 miles an hour. There's no reason to drive 90 miles an hour, ever. Unless there's some insane emergency. But not in your van and trailer. Because it may catch on fire. You may blow out your transmission fluid all over your trailer and all over the wheels. And then that may heat up over the day, and then your van may catch on fire. So, I don't know. I'm just like, I feel like I'm laying on the couch. I should be laying on the couch over here talking to you guys. But somebody posted yesterday on the Bally Hooligans page, I miss Tales from the Green Room. And it got to me, you know, in a good way, it got to me. But I was just like stoked that anybody cared, you know, and like the comments after that were like, oh, me too, you know. And I it's like, I don't know, I guess it's nice to know that people were actually listening. I mean, I see the numbers, you know, the pod has over 126,000 streams, you know, between all the episodes. That's really cool. That's, I couldn't even imagine, you know, crossing 100K or 50K back in the day when I started it, 2018. Yeah, the pod is 4 years old. Four years old. I forget what year it is. It just, you know, it's one of those things. I think it goes back to like, it's the same thing when I put out my solo EP, or when, you know, when Ballyhoo puts out a record. You know, I guess nowadays it's kind of expected, you know, we're just going to get people going, oh, this is dope, flame emoji, you know, and I love that. I don't take it for granted at all. But when you try to do something on your own, when you try to do something different from, you know, either what your group is doing or your circle of friends or whatever, you might feel this anxiety of like, oh my God, they're going to think I'm such an idiot. They're going to think I'm, you know, look at this guy just up here making YouTube videos. I made a video one time. I took a snippet of some podcast I did. I was talking about something. Like, it was like some motivational thing that I was talking about. And I put fucking, like, inspirational music behind it. And I uploaded it. And I immediately felt gross. Like, those, I hate those types of videos. But I was like, I'll try this and see if it, like, does anything, you know? And I pulled it down. I like, it was there for like a week maybe. I pulled that shit down. You know, But it was that, you know, it's those feelings of like, I'm going to put this out there because you know people are going to be looking at this or listening to this and just, I don't know, just being like, oh, look at this guy. I don't know. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Does that make sense to anybody? And it's, you know, it's just like I tell my son at school, you know, it's like he's in sixth grade and these kids are fucking monsters. You know, they're like just, I can't believe the stuff that they say on their text messages and in their threads and stuff. Yesterday, for example, he got added to some thread with some kids at school. He just opened his phone and there was a thread going. They just added his name and there it was. And then the one kid that, like, the main kid who's been a problem in the past, kind of a dick. Yeah, I said it. He's like, oh, fuck Draven. I didn't want him to be in here. Take him out of here. Take his bitch ass out of here. Like, dude, you're in sixth grade. Like, you're 11. You're 12. What is happening? You know, these kids are so mean to each other. So I've had to tell my son many times, you know, trying to reinforce it. I'm like, listen, man, like anybody that's saying bad things about you or judging you or constantly poking at you or digging at you, it's because there's something wrong with themselves. There's something, they hate themselves, they're miserable, they wish that they had the guts to do what you're doing. You know, I like to get, I'm a tech guy. I've always been like a tech guy. I love gadgets and shit. You know what I'm saying? And my son's kind of a techie gadget kid as well. So, you know, we got them phones, you know, not like, we got them like the cheaper versions, you know, the like, 4 years ago, like the 10R, and I got my daughter like the iPhone 8 or something, like what, or whatever it was, or the SE or something, you know, like just so they have it. Cause like, for me, that is, you know, say what you want. Like if you don't give your kids phones, that's whatever. But, for me and Danielle, it's like peace of mind. Like I want to be able to get a hold of them, you know, I feel like the world's a little different today. You know, one of the things I was saying was like, I was telling my son, cause he was like, hey, I want to be able to like ride my bike, like down, you know, across the railroad tracks and down, you know, I'll get, if we need to go to like the Dollar Tree or something, I don't know where he got the Dollar Tree, but you know, if I need to go over there and like get something for you guys, you know, I'll bring it back. And I was like, that's very nice of you, but no. You know, for example, we have phones now and people are just texting while they're driving and they may not see a kid riding on his bike, like those types of things. You know, they have watches because I want to know where they are. I want to be able to call them, you know? And what parent likes standing on the front porch screaming for their kid, you know, or like walking around the neighborhood looking for the kid? I want to be able to call my kids and bring them home for dinner, you know? Anyway, so like some kids at school don't have phones. There's a couple in particular that don't have a phone or don't have a watch. And the one kid will like take his phone from him and run around, once kept it for like an entire period. Went into his locker and pulled it out, like things like that. Like for whatever reason, the kid had his locker combination. And I'm like, look, man, they're jealous. They're jealous you have this stuff. You know, my kid is not like, look what I got. Ugh, I'm so cool. My kid doesn't do that. Both my kids are super cool. They don't even, they like, my daughter puts her watch on and she goes to school and there's no like, look what I got. And nothing like that. Like, they're very cool kids. They know what they have and they take good care of their stuff, which is awesome. They don't just break it or throw it. They're awesome kids. You know, so like some of these kids get jealous of that. And I see it, you know, it's the same. It's just human like interaction. It's, you know, whether you're 11 or you're 41, you know, it's like, you've got people that want what you have or are mad that you have the things that you have and they don't. But to me, it's like, I chose to like bust my ass for so long, you know, to sort of be able to not have to go to a job, you know, and I did that. I did so many jobs, you know, I quit my job finally in 2013. I worked really hard in the early days. I knew what I wanted to do from an early age, which is a fucking gift. A lot of people don't know that, you know? And I chose to grind it out. I, you know, a lot of people are just scared to try to do something that they really want to do. They would rather just have the security in the job and the money, the paycheck every week guaranteed, than go out and hustle and grind it out and live. Like, remember that scene in 8 Mile? Like, you know, it's like you got to live down here in order to live up here or whatever. You got to live down here, man, you know? And I did that for a long time. Even today, like, things are, you know, they're not, I get freaked out sometimes. You know, I guess maybe it's the older I get, I think about the future more. I'm just like, oh my God, shit, I need to get some things moving here. Certainly better off than I used to be. There was a chapter or part in this book. I wish I would have written down the page number. I'm gonna look it up while I'm talking. You know, I think it's okay. 139. So yeah, it's like you got people that are like jealous or something, or like they wish that they could do those things, you know, and they externalize it onto you, you know, and that shit's not right, man. This is not the right page. So, yeah, what was that, right? Oh. I should probably wear my glasses. All right, check this out. I'm reading this book called Stillness is the Key by Ryan Holiday. This guy's got really good books. Okay, so we think we need more and don't realize we already have so much. We work so hard for our families that we don't notice the contradiction. That is because of work that... It's because of work that we never see them, right? That's how it's always like, I gotta work for my family, you know? It's like the work ends up taking you away from the very family that you're trying to love and support, you know? No one does their best work driven by anxiety, and no one should be breeding insecurity in themselves so that they might keep making things. That is not industry. That is slavery. Yeah, I really related with that. I underline these certain paragraphs, but like really related with that because for me, it's like I got to keep making stuff, especially like after my dad died in 2016. Well, for the first like 8 months, I didn't do anything. Like I played some shows, but like I didn't write anything. I didn't really do anything. Excuse me. And that's when it came into the early 2018. I was like, I got to do something, man. I got to, you know, so I started the podcast and then I was like producing bands. I was doing a lot of things, you know? But then you sort of feel like I feel like I became a slave to it in a way, you know? I remember last April, I was working on like 5 different projects at once and they all were due like in April. Something like that. And I was freaking out. I was like working like 14 hours a day down here. And it's like, yeah, I'm very happy to not be waiting tables anymore. That's true. But like, there's still like the stress. You still get stressed out no matter what you're doing, you know, no matter how much you love it. And this was like, yeah, I definitely felt like, it felt like slavery for sure. You become a slave to your own craft. Killing ourselves does nothing for anybody. I mean, I just love this. I'll put the link in the description to this book if you guys want to check it out. He's got like there's a 3-pack actually. I can put up 3-pack. I'll read all 3 books because Ego is the Enemy and there's this one, Stillness is the Key. And then the other one is called the Object is the Way. The Object Becomes the Way. The Object is the Way, something like that. Just really helped. Really helped. I guess I felt like no one really, none of this matters. Nobody cares what I'm saying. Why am I doing this? You know? So with the podcast, it was like, I could have did one with the guys on the last tour, and we should talk about the tour. It was awesome. But my gear that I bring, it's a lot. It comes in one case, which is pretty convenient, I guess. But like, it's hard to find like a quiet place to do it. I got to set all the stuff up, and I don't know. I just feel defeated a lot lately. I don't know why. I have so much, you know. I have an awesome life, you know. I'm not rich or anything, but like, I have a cool life. I get to go on the road and do what I love and sit here and do this. As I said, I'm talking in circles. I know it. I don't know. I just didn't feel like making it. I didn't feel like doing the podcast. I missed streaming. I didn't stream for a month, even before the tour. For a couple weeks before the tour, I didn't stream. Did my first stream last week in a month, over a month. I think it was like 5 weeks, and I missed it. I did miss it. I was like, man, I just lost all the motivation. I haven't done a song of the week, you know, since February. I don't know, man. It's just, I was working out almost every day on the last tour because it was convenient, because we would park at a Planet Fitness every night. You know, our driver would take us, and then the next morning I'd wake up and we'd be at a Planet Fitness. So, you know, get up and take my gym bag in and get a workout and a shower. It's great. Got to get that black card if you're on tour. It's worth it. And I was feeling good, and you know, we were feeling ourselves. You know, like, me especially, I was like, oh shit, my arms are looking good, son. I'm gonna cut the sleeves off this t-shirt. You know, I haven't worked out in a week since we got home. It's just like a week and a half now. Because now I have to drive there. It's 10 minutes away, but I have to drive there. And it's like, as soon as I get the kids on the bus, I want to start working. I have things to do. I need to just do it. I'm making excuses, you know? And it's like, self-awareness and acknowledging the problem is like the first thing, right? It's a big step. It's like going like, you know, it's like when I hear I don't have time, it's like, bro, you have time. You just make the time, like prioritize things, you know? You can go to the gym for an hour, you know? It's like, I just need to do it. I just need to do it. All right, I'm just trying to stop talking about like dark mental shit. Let's talk about the tour. Had a great tour. Went out with the Elevators, all great dudes. The shows were slamming. I was very stoked on how many people showed up every night. I couldn't believe, you know, we had 5 sold out shows. If you include Tortuga, which had nothing to do with us. I mean, the stage was packed when we played. That was great. Everybody was there. A lot of Ballyhooligans saw the Ballyhoo flags and the shirts and the hats and stuff. We did not sell out Tortuga. That sold out itself. But technically, we had 5 sold out shows on the tour. Charleston was crazy. Charlotte was crazy. I couldn't believe it. We haven't been to Charlotte since 2019. I think with Badfish. And it was nuts. Florida was great, as always. Always a good time. I definitely felt the momentum. I feel like the momentum is back. When we, you know, when 2020 happened, you know, and everything stopped in March, we had so much, like, our year was ramping up, man. We had so much momentum, like, all the money was going up. Like, it was fixing to be an amazing year for us. And then it went away. So now we, you know, we obviously, you guys know that we didn't stop. We kept making things. We made a record. We did live streams. We did quarantine videos. We did so much to stay in everybody's memory, you know. Weekly to monthly basis. I'm proud of what we did, you know. And when things started rolling again last fall, it was still kind of shaky. A lot of people weren't coming to shows, you know, because of the mandates and such. And I get it. Nobody wants to wear a mask at a show, you know. Some people didn't want to be vaxxed or whatever. So it was weird. And then we got COVID, you know. We were all fucking vaxxed and trying to stay on the bus and not talk to anybody. And we still got it. So this past couple runs, we did, you know, with the movement in February and then the elevators in April, like, these shows have been slamming. We're back, you know, that's how it feels. We're back. So seeing everybody singing the songs out there, and the show feels more entertaining than it's ever been, like our show, our set. I feel like we're connecting with the crowd, and people are really into it. It's been awesome. It's been really awesome. And there's more to come. We're playing every weekend, you know, and then kicking off the summer tour with Reggae Rise Up, which stoked to be on that in Maryland. I can't believe that they're doing one in Maryland. But we're going to have a summer tour after that, and dates will be announced very soon. You guys get all the news before everybody else. So yeah, a lot going on. We're working on a fall tour. Fall tour is looking good. Cool lineup. And there's just a lot, man. And then we're going to start recording, actually. We've been writing, and hopefully the record will come out next spring. I'm looking at like March, April next year. But we're going to release some singles, you know, on the second half of the year. We go in next month, just in a couple weeks, actually, to start recording the new record. So we're going to be recording throughout the year and releasing a few things. We just did our Sugar Shack, our first Sugar Shack since 2014, maybe, 2013. And those will start rolling out, I think, next month. There's a lot going on. There's a lot to be excited about, a lot to be happy about. I can't wait for you guys to see the Sugar Shack thing. And then here are the new songs. I'm feeling good about the new songs. It's kind of going in a direction like what Girls was doing. I don't know. I don't like to do that anymore, by the way. I don't like to... Oh man, the vibes I'm getting from this is like Girls meets Daydreams, or like, you know, kind of like Detonate, but like a little bit of Pineapple Grenade. Like, I don't like doing that. It's going to be what it's going to be. You know, I'm stoked, and I really think the songs are some of the best shit I've ever written. But I hope you guys like it, you know? We're taking my kid. It's his birthday this weekend. Friday was his birthday. We're taking him to Rock State Park today. It's going to be cool. We're going to go do some hiking. He wanted to go. We went a few years back around his birthday, and he enjoyed it. It was their first time. And so we go to the King and Queen seat. You can look it up. It's a cool spot. You just like, it's the Rocks State Park. And the King and Queen seat. So it's just these rocks that are perched up, these big boulders, like the top of a, like rock formations on this big, huge, steep hill. And you kind of see like a lot of trees and stuff when you get up there. Oh, it's just a cool experience. Fun time for the kids. Used to go there a lot when I was a kid. I'm producing some songs. Coming up from some bands. I'm going to be working with the Harbor Boys on one of their new tracks. think I have some mixed work coming in with higher education. The Bump and Ugly stuff is starting to roll out that we did last year. Yeah, just a lot of cool shit going on, man. Stoked. Yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna sit here and sip this coffee. Let me know what I should talk about next for the next one. I'm gonna try to, you know, try to be better about doing these. I need to get out of my head, man. I need to, like, get back to it. I just get, like, I don't know. I just get down. It's weird. I'm okay. Everything's fine. Yeah, sometimes it's just, I don't know. Can be stressful. All right, well, I guess that's it. I hope I didn't bring anybody down or anything. It's not my intention. I just wanted to give you guys an update. Thank you so much for caring and listening to the show. Subscribe to Tales from the Green Room if you haven't already. We are on Spotify, Apple. We're here on YouTube as well. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. I have tons of acoustic videos and past live streams. You can watch some vlog stuff. Yeah, and go to the Ballyhoo show, ballyhoorocks.com/tour, and get out to a show and come hang out with us. Come have a good time. All right, cool, man. Well, see you guys later. Peace. Thank you.